Hi, Summit Church. I'm so glad you're joining us today on the online campus. Pastor Chris has invited me to speak. My name is Brian Logue. I'm the pastor of worship at the church. And today we're going to be talking about the subject of self-care. Now, before all the dudes in the room start to back out the back door, thinking we're going to talk about bubble baths and candles and essential oils and manicures and pedicures, we're going to talk about the fact that self-care is actually a biblical command. God wants us to pause and rest and recharge our batteries. Okay? Because we're called to love one another, and loving one another isn't always easy. Listen to what Galatians chapter 5 says. Serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. See, if loving each other was easy, Paul wouldn't even have to write these words. And when do we bite and devour each other? Is it when we're like well-rested and recharged, or is it when we're kind of tired and worn out? So I think the world is in recovery right now. We're in the recovery from the year 2020. It was just an awful year. It was a nightmare. I mean, how many of you guys went through the Rooted program that we did at Summit just a little over a year ago? Do you remember Strongholds Week? I know for me, when everything was shut down, my strongholds were like amplified to the max. Anger and despair, those were my two big ones. And I was angry. I was angry when everything shut down, like red-faced angry. I was angry at politicians. I was angry that everything is shut down. I was angry at my circumstances. I was so angry, I was even angry at God. I would try and sit down and read my Bible and just like, God, you could fix this if you wanted to. And then the despair would kick in. Just this feeling of like, oh my gosh, this is going on forever. This is our life now. We're going to live in lonely isolation for the rest of our lives. And then our kids started distance learning. You guys, did you do distance learning? I have a kindergartner and a second grader. And let me tell you, first let me tell you, teachers, you are amazing. You did a great job. And we love you teachers. But being a parent at home with a kindergartner and a second grader was just, it was insane. I think my wife, Allison, should be nominated like for sainthood or something because she really managed all that. She set up her desk to work from home, and then Noelle on one side on a computer and Samuel on another side on a computer, and she would log them in and then do her work and then log them into their next Zoom meeting and then do her work, then log them in to her next Zoom meeting and do her work. I got to watch them on Mondays and like help them with school when I had the day off on Monday. And there was this one Monday I left the room to go top off my coffee, and I come back to find Noelle doing this. I don't even know what this is, but she's on her Zoom call with her class, like spinning in circles, and I'm just mortified. I couldn't believe that she was doing that. So you add to the stress of all of that, the fact that like 2020 derailed all of our self-care activities. Parks were closed, playgrounds were wrapped in caution tape, people were getting arrested at the beach. There was this place in Southern California where they filled in a skate park with sand so kids couldn't even use it. So 2020 is like the perfect example of what happens when we don't take care of ourselves, because we couldn't. I mean, our self-care was reduced to like getting drive-thru and watching Netflix. And what were we like? We were angry, frustrated. It affected our mood. But as the world is beginning to reopen and things are coming back, I think it's timely just to pause and think about healthy ways to take care of ourselves. So point number one is this. If I want to love others well, I need to take care of myself first. I need to take care of myself first. Now, this is not a kingdom of God, first will be last will be first kind of thing. This is a matter of making sure that we're healthy. Because we've got this command in Galatians chapter 5 where it says, love your neighbor as yourself. But how can I love my neighbor as myself if I don't even love myself? It's in our nature to put ourselves last. We take care of our kids first. We take care of our spouse's needs. We're shuttling everybody around to karate and dance class. We pour into our job 8 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon and get home, make dinner, put the kids to bed. And if we have a little bit of extra time, we like sneak away and steal a little bit of me time. But is it really healthy to put ourselves last? I want to show you a short news story. Check this out.
Go, go, go of today's pressurized work world. Madeline Parker did something many wouldn't have the courage to do.
I took a mental health day.
Madeline works in Ann Arbor, Michigan for the internet chat company, Olark. She sent this message. I'm taking today and tomorrow to focus on my mental health. Hopefully, I'll be back next week refreshed and back to 100%. But truth be told, she was also a little worried.
A lot of people don't think that mental health is health. They think that you aren't trying hard enough, and that's not how it works. It's an illness.
The first thing that went through my mind is like, wow, that takes a lot of bravery.
To her surprise, the CEO replied all the way from Palo Alto, California. You are an example to us all and help cut through the stigma so we can all bring our whole selves to work.
You're already trusting people to stay home when they have the flu. Trust them to stay home when they're not mentally all there.
Madeline, who battles depression and anxiety, now knows not to be anxious about needing time. Her tweet of her boss's reply touched tens of thousands. Mental health is just as serious and real as physical health. Very important to break that stigma. Any jobs where you work? Her advice to companies?
Make sure that people know that this is a safe space and that mental health days are allowed and that mental health is health, because it is.
For this employee, taking the time to heal the mind makes for a healthier workplace. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Chicago.
Madeline Parker showed tremendous wisdom by taking some time for herself. And you know what happened? She was celebrated. The world celebrated her. So if the world is going to celebrate self-care, shouldn't the church be leading the way on biblical self-care? Now, I mentioned that self-care is actually a biblical command. God was the first to rest. He worked for 7 days, and then he rested on the seventh day. Listen to Genesis chapter 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all of the work of creating that he had done. God himself rested. And then when he gave us the Ten Commandments, he worked that in. Exodus chapter 20 says this, 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that was in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Deuteronomy chapter 5 adds this, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Not only did God want us to set aside time to rest and recharge, but it's also an example of freedom from slavery. How many of us have said, oh my gosh, I'm a slave to my paycheck? Well, when we set aside time to recharge our batteries, we're actually sharing with the world, we're showing the world that we rely on God, that God takes care of us. The Sabbath is more than just a day off of work. I mean, we really want to get to the spirit of what God intended. It's more of a guidepost to point us in the right direction of getting rest and taking care of ourselves. So I want to dig a little bit deeper into this. I don't want us to get caught in the trap that the Pharisees did, where they were just afraid to lift a finger on the Sabbath, because Jesus set them straight. He said in Mark chapter 2, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God's intention for it all was just that we prioritize purposeful rest. When we honor God by obeying this command, we show that we're in a love relationship with God. We're also in a love relationship with ourselves, so that we can be in a love relationship with everybody around us. And when I say love ourselves, I don't mean like a narcissistic, take a selfie for my 50,000 Instagram followers. I'm talking about like healthy self-care love, taking good care of myself. I have 2 kids, I've mentioned them before. And I love them dearly. I tell them what foods to eat. These are the healthy foods. These are the not healthy foods. I tell them to turn off the TV and get outside and get some exercise. And I tell them when to go to bed so they get enough sleep. Now, if I love my kids enough to do that, do I love myself enough to do that for myself? Because I know when we're tired and worn out is when we get snippy and cranky with those around us. I'll tell you a little story. So a few weeks ago, we celebrated Easter Sunday at the church, and A lot of emotional energy goes into planning and leading an Easter service. So naturally, the next day, I was wiped out. Monday's my day off, so I was just kind of putzing around the backyard, doing mindless stuff, hosing off the patio furniture, washing the cushions, getting the backyard all ready for the spring and summer season. We basically live outside, spring and summer. So you got to know that my wife's work right now has been like really stressful, and she's been working long hours. So when she got off work and she joined me outside, she didn't really celebrate all of the awesome things that I'd been doing all day. That's what I kind of expected. Instead, she was kind of pointing out some of the things that I didn't do. And guys, I knew she was tired. I knew she was tired. And yet, this is what I said. I said, "You look tired. Do you need a Snickers?" And as soon as those words left my mouth, I was like, "No, come back." And I just waited in slow motion, waiting for those words to land. And my brain was like, "Prepare for impact, prepare for impact." And luckily she laughed. Luckily she gave me a little chuckle and saw the humor in it. But man, the point of the story is this. I was tired and she was tired and she didn't have the energy to celebrate the work that I had done in the backyard with me. And I didn't have the energy to really care for her needs and be patient with her. And that's what happens when we get tired. So God commands us to rest, to set aside time to purposefully recharge, because we can't give away what we don't have. Which leads us to point number two. If I want to love others well, I need to take care of others from my overflow. I need to take care of others from my overflow. All of us have a bucket. And when we're serving others, we're caring for others, we're loving others, we're pouring out of our bucket. When we go to work, we're pouring out of our bucket. And when we get the rest that we need and we're recharging, we're putting water back in that bucket so we have more to pour out. Now, if we're not taking time to pause and rest and reset and recharge, we pour, 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 and pour, and eventually we're empty. We have nothing else to give. Ideally, if we're constantly refilling with rest, we're just overflowing. We're serving and loving others from our overflow. But if we get empty, what do? What's our tendency? If you're honest like me, it's we go for that unhealthy thing that gives us that quick bolt of like feel-good energy, but it's usually unhealthy. We're not taking the time to actually pause and refill our bucket in a good way. And then we fall into this trap. Listen to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to keep going with the scripture. "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, enviness, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." Like I said earlier, the pandemic just really, it drained us. The shutdowns drained us. The politics drained us. 2020 drained all of America. If 2020 had a theme verse, it would be Galatians 5, 19 through 21. I mean, listen to this. Last year, we had the sexual immorality, the impurity, the lustful pleasures. After the lockdown, internet pornography saw a 24% spike in usage. Last year, we had hostility, quarreling, and outbursts, and anger. The rioting last year set a record $2 billion in property damage claims. Last year, we had the drunkenness. Online alcohol sales was a $3 billion industry in 2019. In 2020, it rose to be a $5.6 billion industry. And that's just online sales. Now, some of us might be thinking, "Oh, geez, well, I didn't watch porn and I didn't riot. I didn't spend all my money on booze." But what about outbursts of anger? I know I was angry. What about jealousy? I was jealous of South Dakota. They never shut down. What about division, dissension? Do you get wrapped up in arguments with people, Twitter fights, Facebook commentary fights? What about idolatry and sorcery? And you could say, this is an easy one. Of course I'm not an idolater and I don't practice sorcery. But do you know that word sorcery in the original language is pharmakeia? It literally means the use and administering of drugs. So, did you set your hope in a vaccine? Did you set your hope in hand sanitizer? Did you idolize those things? We can go down that road. My guess is that the craziness of last year just drove us all to the point of exhaustion, and all of us fell into something that was unhealthy in our sinful nature. But we're called to live to a higher standard. So let's talk about that bucket again. Not everything that we fill it with is good for recharging our batteries or giving us healthy rest. We're tempted to fill our bucket with things that, especially when we're tired and we're drained, we're tempted to fill our bucket with things that just actually fuel the anger and division and jealousy or worse. And none of those things inspire love in us. I mean, we know how to not take care of ourselves, right? Sitting on the couch, scrolling on Facebook, which is one of the worst things we can possibly do. That's not self-care at all. I mean, sure, I want to see that the Johnsons got a new puppy, but I have to scroll past like 10 political posts just to get to that. It's actually worse for my soul. We have to be mindful of the things that we refill our bucket with. Good things, healthy things. I know for myself, the only escape was to run to the Father, to run to God and just lay everything at His feet and not let myself be caught up or controlled by my circumstances. So let's transition a little bit. We know what's not healthy for us. Let's talk about good, healthy self-care. Jesus modeled healthy self-care. It says in Luke chapter 5, Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Safe to say he had a very demanding schedule and he would take every opportunity to rest if he could. There's this great story in Luke chapter 8 that goes like this. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and started out. And as they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake and the boat was filling with water and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. And we read the story and we marvel at the fact that he calmed the storm. But I'm over here marveling at the fact that he was asleep. He was asleep during the storm. He needed to rest and he knew it. And he was the best example of loving one another that the world's ever had. So let's look at some practical ways to recharge. Number one, this is an easy one. Be like Jesus. Get more sleep. Go to bed at a decent hour. Number two is intentionally plan your day. Plan intentional moments of retreat and rest where you can recharge. I mean, how do you spend your 15-minute break at work? Do you go out in the back alley and smoke a cigarette and scroll on social media? Or do you take a walk and soak in the sunshine? Listen to the birds? How do you spend your lunch break? Do you sit at your desk? Or do you get out? Do you change your environment, change your scenery? Maybe pick up that novel you've been reading and read another chapter or so. Just take a step back from work and recharge and then come back into the second half of your day ready to go. Do you plan your day with exercise? Do you work that in there intentionally? Here's a good practice. The first 10 minutes are key and are critical. So when you get home from work, take the first 10 minutes and like disappear to your bedroom, change your clothes, and just relax. Before you engage your family, before you engage your kids, make that first 10 minutes sacred. Or maybe go and walk around the backyard a little bit. Especially those of us who are working from home now, we don't have that commute to kind of separate ourselves from work. We're walking right from the home office right into the kitchen. Just maybe make it a practice in your family that the 10 minutes after I get home from school, the 10 minutes after I get home from work, when I turn off my computer, 10 minutes to decompress, and it's going to be so healthy for you. And take turns. So husband, maybe you get home from work, your wife knows, give them 10 minutes. But husbands, after your 10 minutes, you trade. You take the kids, you take the responsibility, and you give your wife some time to decompress. Then you guys come back together. It's going to set the tone for the evening in so much more of a healthy way. Another thing we can do to help recharge our bodies is engage in find and practice meaningful hobbies. Did you know that God can redeem our hobbies for holy purposes? Colossians chapter 3 says this, And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, if your hobby is like leading to debauchery, God's not going to really bless that. But if you have this good, healthy hobby that helps you recharge, you should know that the grace of God is on that. All right, God is going to use that for holy purposes. He's going to bless that, bless your life. It provides room and space in our heart to recharge, and also the Holy Spirit is at work recharging our batteries and setting us up for success. All right, I came across this graphic I want to show you guys. I saw this, and it really made me think about how I intentionally spend my recharge time. And it says, everyone should have five hobbies. One to make you money, one to keep you in shape, one to keep you creative, one to build your knowledge, and one to evolve your mindset. I know what you're thinking. I don't even have time for one hobby. How am I supposed to have five? Well, before you start throwing tomatoes at me, let me walk you through some of my own personal hobbies, things I do to recharge. And when I saw this graphic, it forced me to kind of put them in this box, and I really liked the way that it made me think about being intentional about my rest and recharge time. So, like, for one, I like to listen to podcasts, Bible study podcasts, when I exercise, when I go to the gym or go for a run. Now, where does that fall on this list? It keeps me in shape, it builds my knowledge, and it evolves my mindset. I'm a musician. I pick up side jobs playing music with singer-songwriters and make a little extra cash on the side. So that kind of falls into that category of make money and also keeps me creative. I like to cook. I've recently got into smoking meats. If you follow me on Instagram, I'm like bombarding your feed with delicious ribs and things that I'm cooking. But that keeps me creative. It builds my knowledge as I learn about new recipes. So you can see these categories can overlap. But I think what's most important is that we're being intentional about saying, this is something I do that actually recharges me and gives me a sense of rest and relaxation, recharges my batteries. I was talking to a guy recently who was into woodworking, and he was thinking of doing these projects because he just enjoys them, but then taking them to craft fairs and farmers markets and selling them. That's a great idea. Another way to think of it maybe is like, what do I do daily to rest and recharge? Maybe I sit down and read a book for 20 minutes or garden in the backyard. What do I do weekly? Maybe once a week I go for a long walk. What do I do monthly? Maybe once a month I go for a nice hike in the woods. What's my yearly hobby? What do I do once a year that recharges my batteries? For me, hopefully it's Hawaii, but we'll see. One can hope, right? But if we're intentional about engaging in our hobbies for our mental and emotional health, we're filling that bucket with good things and allowing the Holy Spirit to really move in our hearts. So let me leave you with this. When we follow the biblical command to rest and recharge, the Holy Spirit is at work. The transforming power of God is active in our life. We're making room for that. Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 23 says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when we live our lives with these attributes, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control, we are fulfilling the command. We're able to fulfill that command to love our neighbor as ourselves. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for this opportunity to pause, to examine your word, to examine our hearts, and to bring the two together. I pray that your transforming work is happening right now as we're reassessing and reorganizing our lives. Give us wisdom, God, to lean into this truth and take it seriously that you want us to be rested and recharged so that we can love one another well. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.